Good morning. I'm Pastor Wayne, and if you're a visitor here with us today, I welcome you, and we're so glad you're here. If you'd like to come see us again, I think you'd find us a warm and welcoming place. So take care of some practical things right now. At the end of the pew, you'll find a registration booklet. If you'll just fill that out and pass it down the aisle, we can account for all of us here. And I do want to thank you, all of you, for your generosity. Your giving does make all our ministries that we do here at Christ Church possible. You can text to give. You can use our app. You can go online, or you can mail in your contribution, or at the end of the service, there'll be ushers at the rear of the sanctuary with offering plate to receive. So we appreciate all that. You know, prayer is the absolute foundation of all that we do. And so will you now join me in prayer to God our Savior. Lord of mercy and grace, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, a day that its beauty comes from being together with you in fellowship to praise our Savior Jesus Christ. I ask that you be with each and every one of us as we celebrate the birth of the Christ child. His truth continues to ring out through our world 2,000 years later. The significance of Christ in our lives is beyond compare of anything else. Lord, touch us. If we have weaknesses, strengthen them. If we have strengths, let us be thankful for them and use them for the betterment of others and for the building of your kingdom. Lord, you gathered your disciples together and they would ask of you, Lord, how do we pray? And the Lord taught them this prayer, and will you join me as we remember that? Praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will you stand as you are able for the reading of our scripture this morning? Coming from Matthew, the second chapter, verses 19 through 23. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Well, again, good morning, Christ Church, and I'm so glad you're here. Hopefully, you're still in the afterglow of the celebration of Christmas and the birth of our Savior. So now what? Looking back just a few weeks, I remember how we gathered and we sang songs of the season. I saw that when called, the faithful would come to be joyful and triumphant. And we sang of the Christ child born in Bethlehem, and we celebrated the birth of the Christ with our families, with our friends on that silent night. Did that time pass as quickly for you as it did for me? It was like a flash, and it's over. the scurrying from store to store to find just the appropriate gift to express our love and our appreciation for family and friends had been completed. Just the right gift had been secured. So we gathered to exchange those gifts with friends and loved ones. We gathered in fellowship as a congregation, and we raised money for those in need, and we gave food, and we gave gifts for Operation Christmas Child. We as individuals shared in all kinds of ways with those in need who were seemingly without hope. Families came together in churches all around the world and in our various homes to celebrate one another and our times together. Well, there were plenty of Christmas shows and TV specials to go along with the disturbing news of the day. We individually had our struggles and our joys, but we look now into the future that will be ours with the Christ. There are families that couldn't be together for whatever reason. I think they had family in mind and in heart, even though they felt the separation. But new technologies allowed us not only to speak to, but to view each other and to share our time together. Speaking of new technologies, think about this. In the beginning, man wrote on tablets, and then he wrote on scrolls, and then he wrote on books. But today, we scroll through books on tablets. That's progress. And I believe God calls us to continue this great celebration that we experience, the magnificence of the season, the delight seen in the eyes of children, the warmth in our hearts as this season just seems to bring out the best of us. We pray that this was not the end, but this is the beginning. If we took that celebration with all of its joy and its wonder, that feeling of love and fellowship and giving and sharing, and do it today, and then do it tomorrow, and the day after, and every day going forth in all of our futures, what a difference living a life in God makes. Sound impossible? For some, I suppose so, but then remember, nothing's impossible with God. Sound improbable? Most likely that's true. Knowing the man of history, mankind has a difficult time staying together. But it doesn't have to be that way. Through practicing the love and the grace and the mercy of the living Christ, we can be different. That's what Christians are about. We are different. We consciously separate ourselves from the call of the world and pray that we will be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We will gather to celebrate Jesus Christ at the drop of a hat. We are a celebrating people because we have a lot to celebrate. Celebrate Jesus in your life with enthusiasm and with joy. In our scripture from the Gospel of Matthew this morning, we learn what happened on the return of Joseph and family to Galilee. In Matthew's Gospel, the apostle's story moves from the family's return to Nazareth to the coming of John the Baptist. We don't really know what happened in that time span, but we do know that John the Baptist came to herald the kingdom of God, coming to each one of them and to all of us through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. John baptized the believers who, I think without doubt, were joyful about all the decisions they had made to be baptized and to be with God and to be cleansed and forgiven of the sins and getting a restart in their lives that we all need. They were in preparation for the coming of the kingdom. Certainly something to celebrate. And it's still available for us today. Don't you wonder just a bit if the neighbors of Jesus celebrated the family's return home to Galilee? Did they throw a party? Did they ask, is this the son we heard so much about? Oh my, hasn't he grown? Or did the family just humbly go back to their house, renew the carpentry business, and take life as it came, living with God in the next room as the family waits and wonders what will happen next? What now? Looking back well beyond the birth of Christ, it's found that celebrations were really nothing new to the Israelite people. The recordings of celebrations, or to celebrate, or any of its derivatives are mentioned 85 times in Scripture. God set aside special times for special events. These were important functions of recognizing the glory of God. One celebration in particular found in the book of Esther. A story is told of the Jews being saved from annihilation as the Jewish enemies plotted against them to destroy them and had cast the pur, that is, the lot, for their ruin and for their destruction. The victory of the Jews over their enemies would be remembered as the celebration of Purim. And in Esther 9:19, we find recorded this passage. That is why rural Jews, those living in villages, observe the 14th of the month of Adar as a day of joy and feasting, a day of giving presents to each other, exchanging gifts in celebration of being saved was nothing new. The giving of gifts at the birth of the Christ child echo this ancient custom of celebration of salvation through gift giving, as our salvation is seen in this child, Jesus the Christ. A gift to all mankind from his Father. Jesus said that he was the truth and the life. He could have also said, I am the gift. Unwrap me first and celebrate. That gift may be beautifully wrapped in gold and silver, a delight for the eye, or perhaps in plain brown paper of despair. Either way, the gift must be opened by the heart to find its true blessing. God gives us gifts daily. First and foremost are the gifts of his Son and the seed of faith that when planted in the fertile ground of our belief, helps us to grow and to mature in the kingdom. Indeed, there is much to celebrate when we give ourselves completely to Jesus. Thus began the life and times of Jesus Christ on earth, the Messiah of whom all of Scripture speaks, seeking refuge in Egypt from those who would harm him. Joseph and Mary waited patiently for a safe return to yet again fulfill another prophecy concerning the Messiah. So back to my first question. So now what? We are in another gap between the celebration of the birth of Jesus and his second coming. We can't seek shelter from our enemies by going to Egypt or anywhere else. Many have tried, but here's the truth. Temptation and the evil one can find you anywhere. And if the wind can reach you, if you need air to breathe, the Holy Spirit can reach you as well to give you strength to fight and to be victorious. We can make the decision to nurture a newly born faith and stand where we are and develop our gift of faith through celebration of the word and the works of Jesus Christ every day. draw close to God and he will draw close to you is an often used phrase from James 4:8. Jesus is God's son. God shows favor and is pleased with his son. His son loves us. How can we not celebrate that? Have you ever been in charge of a celebration? You know, it's work putting the event together, hoping that everyone will have a great time and understand what the celebration is and why it's important. Perhaps you've attended a birthday party or a wedding celebration and not knowing the person well for whom the celebration was intended, but you came. Maybe the draw was the shrimp and the cake. Also consider that at the end of the day, somebody's got to clean up the mess. Do you suppose we are the mess that Christ was sent to clean up? I do believe so. It's easy to get lost and distracted after the revelers leave. But Christ hasn't left. He is busy preparing for the next really big celebration, but not so busy as to leave us abandoned and unattended. Joy to the world. Martha would discover what Jesus thought of distraction, of losing focus in the midst of everyday life. In Luke 10:38-41, we read this story of distraction about the mechanics of celebration and not the spirit. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Is that our story? Were we distracted by the preparation of the celebration, or were we giving ourselves over to the reason for the season? There's going to be a lot of history flow our way from this point forward in our lives. Minute by minute, hour by hour, we make history. Marking that history with the celebration of Jesus Christ each day will dramatically change our lives and influence the lives of those around us. A once-a-year celebration followed by 364 days of fret and worry was not the intent of God in sending us a Savior at such a great cost. At the end of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 49, Jesus said this, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." That is the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Starting in verse 50, we read the response of the disciples. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Great joy. Praising God. Celebrating in anticipation. Our daily celebration is in anticipation of his next coming. As I read the scripture, I noted that Jesus was taken up into heaven while he was blessing them. Not after he blessed them, but while he was blessing them. That gap, that unfinished blessing is our life as we wait for Jesus to finish his blessing for us in life eternal. And I can't leave you wondering what to do to celebrate and to prepare. I certainly can't make every point that we might find to celebrate. We will find our own celebrations if we tune ourselves to God. But let me make a few suggestions of how we can prepare ourselves to celebrate each and every day. At the end of the day, before you nod off to sleep, whisper a prayer to God, giving thanks for the day that you have just enjoyed, and to forgive you for the missteps that you've made. And we all make them. We are all going to have those missteps. And as you arise in the morning, whether you use an alarm or you just awaken, before your feet ever hit the floor, give praise to God for the day before you. Relish each breath you take and pray that the Holy Spirit will be with you. And as the fog of sleep clears, take time to get into the Word. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." And we find in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even by dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." These two simple steps serve to set the pattern of your day. It is the foundation of changing your life from hopelessness to hope, from questions to things revealed, and from chaos to peace. Celebrate these things every day, and it will change your approach not only to life, but to your approach to those whom God has called you to serve. Let's pray about that. Mighty God, thank you ever so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to us and that we have celebrated in our lives. Lord, thank you for being with us, for calling us to action in your name. Lord, put in us that spirit that as we rise and as we rest every day, we give thanks to you for those moments that our hearts are lifted and our souls refreshed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we give thanks to you, O God, for all the blessings of our life. Be with us, we pray. It's in Christ's name. Amen.